Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm warming to the Carolina Panthers. I'm warming to pure NFL weekend filth. Ugly dogs that haven't been great that nobody wants to bet. And I have a stat for you. I came prepared with a stat. Week 3 underdogs that are 0-2 ATS coming into that third week are 62-39 ATS. That is 61%. Mm-hmm. Is it the biggest sample size? No, but it's over 100 games. 62-39 ATS. And guess who checks that box tonight? The Miami Dolphins. Can we get there? I guess we'll find out tonight.
Yeah, we will. Full breakdown coming up in 20 minutes. It's funny. We were complaining on Friday about how it's been all favorites. Dogs aren't coming through. Happens over the weekend, as expected. No real big surprises again. And as the week goes on, here we are again. Once you get to Thursday, Friday, we're like, all right, here we go. It's time. It would be the worst if, let's say, and don't get it twisted. We don't give out all underdogs. It's just we end up shading, looking for value. The bets that a lot of people don't want to make, if we see value there, we're going to end up making them. Yeah, like a play I gave out yesterday, that's a favorite. A game that you've been talking a lot about this week. It's a 3-point favorite. So we're not all underdogs, but the dogs have had a rough time. And we side on that side of the ledger, I guess, more times than not. So that's why that dirty dog segment is going to be interesting. It's basically looking at the board. What do old school guys say? The bets that are hardest to make are usually the easiest to cash. Is that how the old saying goes, Sammy?
Yeah, it's very accurate. Well, I have some nasty, downright filthy bets in the NFL. The one that I think I'm overthinking, and I'd like to not, maybe you can help me get here over the next 3 hours, mm-hmm. Are the Bears really going to beat the Cowboys? I saw something yesterday, and this has happened now multiple times going back to spring camp or early camp or whatever they call it these days, not OTAs, before OTAs. Ben Johnson was saying that they couldn't break the huddle in Chicago. So he comes out yesterday and says, our practice habits are not championship caliber. Okay, we're saying this again. There's a purpose for that, right? Why would you come out and say that? And then you look at the injury report. Jalen Johnson, not practicing, out. Grady Jarrett on the front, D-line, not practicing. Kyler Gordon, safety, not practicing. TJ Edwards, hamstring, linebacker, not practicing. How are they getting stops in this game? And I don't really want to talk about the total because we talked about it at 49 and now it's 51.
Yeah.
But is there any interest in betting Chicago? Like, these are the things I want to talk about today. Like, is it so silly to just think Dallas is going to pulverize the Bears, who don't get a pass rush to begin with, and now their best secondary guy is out, one of their best linebackers is out, Grady Jarrett's probably not going to play. How are they putting pressure on a veteran quarterback, Dak Prescott? And now it's Dak against Caleb in what should be a shootout. Who do you like, right?
Is it? Where have we seen this explosion from the Bears' offense? I understand why that's where a lot of people went, and we went there too. And the total jumps up. But if you're going to play an over, like your mentality is both teams are going to do their part. Are you sure the Bears are going to do their part? Maybe you're right, because I think you're hinting at playing the Cowboys, maybe a Cowboys team total. What do we know? We know the Cowboys are going to put up points against this Bears defense. We know that. Do we know that the Bears are going to put up points on Dallas? Oh, because Russell Wilson did it? The Bears are definitely going to do it? I don't know. Is Russell Wilson, is Caleb going to have moonballs like Russ? I don't trust that as much. Feels like we have a lot more trust in what the Cowboys side is. So, yeah, I think that's an interesting thought. Like, maybe we should just be looking at the Cowboys side of things. Maybe it doesn't necessarily mean lay the point or whatever on the road or whatever. Take them as a dog in the money line, whatever they are right now. Doesn't necessarily mean that, but there are other ways to bet the Cowboys. If that's what you believe in the most, that team, that offense is going to be getting into the end zone.
Warming to the idea of Cowboys -1, -105 at BetMGM. Yeah. Just win the game. If it lands one, fine. I'll hate it. I'll push. That would suck because I hate pushes. It's the worst. When I waste 3.5 hours of my time and then it's a tie, I don't want to say I'd almost rather lose, but I'd rather feel something. I feel nothing. I go numb when it's a tie. But I was talking to a couple guys in Vegas last night. They're like, why is this line close to a pick'em? And I said, I don't know. Some of these lines are really bad. Go back to Monday night. Why are the Chargers only 3 in Vegas? And you watch that game and you think, why? I had a conversation with Will Hill, who I work with at Fox, and he was asking about why none of these dogs are getting home. And I brought up maybe the books are just mispricing the favorites. I mean, how many times now in 2 weeks have we looked back? I know it's easy to put on our hindsight goggles and look back in the past, but there were so many lines where a team's laying 4 and wins by 10 plus easily. And I think odds makers are responsible for some of this. They complain about all the favorites covering and winning, and then you hang bad lines, like the Chargers only laying 3 in Vegas and the Cowboys only laying 1 in Chicago. And everybody's going to bet Dallas, and Dallas probably wins. And then what's the solution? Well, we trust our numbers. Well, maybe the favorites aren't weighted enough. And maybe the top half of the league is just so much better than the bottom half.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get at yesterday, our conversation with Nate Collins. It's like, what is the reason for this? Is the bottom – and the bottom used to feel like 2-3 pathetic organizations, right? Doesn't the bottom feel like, I'm just going off the top of my head, like a group of 8 teams? Like, it's not 2 or 3. It's a bunch of teams. Like, we know the very top is 4, and then there's another tier. But that next tier isn't that far off. That next tier is pretty damn strong. And then you compare that to the very bottom. Let's say bottom quarter of the league. Like, very different. That's an interesting thought. Like, maybe your priors are just wrong. Maybe you're not reacting quick enough. Well, because you'll always hear from them, well, we don't want to overreact because that's what the public does. Well, maybe you need to react a little bit more. And we've seen it a lot of times where teams, we saw it with a couple of NFL teams last year, win totals of 6.5, and they're double-digit wins easily. Does that happen most years? I would say there's a big surprise, but now we're getting multiple surprises sometimes. And maybe they need to respond quicker. Oh, well, I don't want to overreact. Well, why not? You know what the public's going to bet. Why cry about, like, oh, these dogs aren't getting home? Well, the line's 3, and it probably should have been 6. Like, that's part of the reason they're not getting home. How many times are we seeing team win, not cover? It feels like it's not happening a lot after a couple weeks.
Like in college basketball, March Madness, the point spread is sort of irrelevant. You just pick the team who you like to win, and usually that's the case. Oh, you like a dog +4.5? They're probably going to win the game. You like the favorite -7? They're probably just going to win. So a lot of people have sort of gotten to this place where in college basketball, if they like an underdog, they just take the money line. Mm-hmm. That hasn't worked in the NFL dating back to week 13 of last year, but parlay culture has changed a lot of the calculus. When we were coming up, when we first started betting, when we got our first bookies in Chicago, we couldn't moneyline parlay 5 favorites together. We were lucky to get a 2-teamer. But now parlay culture has changed everything because they have crammed it down our throats. Every commercial, every pregame show. Here's Matthew Berry's four-leg parlay. Here's this parlay. Here's this parlay. And it's crept into Vegas. And these guys aren't even having fun booking bets during NFL anymore because guys are no longer coming in laying 6 points on Monday night or Thursday night or Sunday night. They're taking that favorite and wedging it with another three favorites, and there's no defense. There's no defense against it. And then, as was the case last Monday, all these books are praying and begging. We need the Raiders to win outright. Well, you put yourself in that spot. You put yourself in that spot.
100%. All right, Sam, we've got a lot of quarterback news that came down on Wednesday. We know today, here on Thursday, that's the biggest day for injuries. But we got more than expected on Wednesday, and we have to start with San Francisco. We ended the show talking about the idea of betting San Francisco -1.5 against Arizona, throwing out different reasons why. And then a few hours after the show, we hear Shanahan say, Purdy has a chance to play. A week ago, he was a long shot to play, did not play. They went on the road at New Orleans, one score game, and now he has a shot to play. I didn't expect to hear that, but it makes sense because when the Purdy injury was first reported, it started with 2 weeks. They said 2 to 5, wide range, but now we're entering the second week. Shanahan playing games? I don't know. Sometimes he does. I would lean that he is playing games and that it's going to be Mac Jones. But Mac Jones performed fine against the Saints. 279 yards, 3 touchdowns. Remember, Purdy's dealing with a couple of things. It's a cluster injury for him. He's got the toe. He's got the shoulder. But he was out there participating in practice yesterday.
Sharpest guy I know laid Niners -1 yesterday morning. And he said it doesn't matter who's a quarterback for San Fran. And I thought, okay, it does matter. Why are you saying that? And his response was, it's Spencer Rattler going on the road against Robert Saleh's defense. And I said, oh, okay, got it. I went to this point where he was saying there's not a drop-off between Purdy and Mac Jones. And he said, no. He said, but I'll lay anything under 3. And here's what's going to happen. If we see good news from San Francisco today on the Purdy side of things, this line is going right to 3. So if you're gambling on it, look, I bet some 2.5 last night -105. I'll be completely honest with you. I know we give lightning bets at the end of the show. But anything sub 3, even if it's Mac Jones, I'm cool. You look at some of the advanced metrics and Rattler and what he's going to do against this pressure and this solid defense, it's probably going to be ugly, Joe. But if Purdy's in, we get good news Friday, Saturday, Sunday. This line's not 2.5. It's 4.5. But if somebody's telling me I like it no matter what up to 3, even with Mac, how do you not pocket a little -2.5, just gamble? If Purdy doesn't go, you still have a sub 3 favorite that's probably going to win against one of the worst rosters in football.
And with the Cardinals, the secondary is beat up already. They walked out of their last game with a couple of injuries. And I mentioned it a couple times yesterday. I'm not buying into Arizona. You can tell me about 2-0 and that they're a favorite to make the playoffs. Not buying it. Congratulations on your nice start. You played two of those bottom teams that we were talking about in New Orleans and Carolina, and you were outgained in both games. You were lucky to hang on last week against the Panthers as they had 3 consecutive touchdown drives against you. Bryce Young threw for the most passing yards he's thrown in his entire career against you. So I'm not buying anything Arizona. I'd say it's a side note, but Zach Taylor, he's not eliminating the possibility of Burrow returning at some point. That just sounds to me like, yeah, we said 3 months and we meant it, but if we're done, if we're out of the playoff race, he's not coming back. But if we're in there, if we're in the running for the division, a playoff spot, there is a chance that we see Burrow come December.
Ooh. All right, that'd be good for my fantasy team. But guess who I picked up yesterday? Jared Goff was on the waiver wire. Give me that. Give me all of that. Burrow to the IR. Goff, QB1 for your boy.
There you go. There you go. Jaden Daniels did not participate in practice yesterday. Quinn is saying that he will practice on Friday at the earliest. So if he goes, not going to be today. They're looking at Friday.
One quick baseball note. We don't do a lot of baseball. The Mets are trying to give it away. Trying. They lose again last night. But the D-backs, in 11. They lose in 11 innings last night.
We're going to find a way to squeeze in some baseball today because a couple nuggets that we want to get to. Thursday Night Football next. This is Bet Sweats, BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Still checks out. Yep, still does. Bills, Dolphins tonight. My God, I see BetMGM this morning. We're sitting at 12.5. And if you go to some other books, are they already knocking on 13? How high is this number going to get? Plenty of 11.5s available also this morning in the marketplace. Total 49.5. Over at BetMGM. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. Yep, we're going to do our best to try and get you amped, get you excited, maybe find a betting angle for Thursday Night Football. Sam, I do have to admit, though, like as I've seen some people in the betting content space kind of put out their plays for tonight, maybe it's because it's how I feel, but I do get the sense that a lot of people are forcing stuff. Like, do you really feel strong about this? Or because it's an island game, because the bosses are saying, hey, we need a pick for Thursday Night Football, they're deciding to put that out there. Do you get that same sense when you start to see some of these, these gotta play props that are out there tonight?
People want action, for sure.
Yeah.
They do. Look, for me, it's either Dolphins or pass. I don't love the Dolphins. As I said off the top, I hate the Dolphins tonight, but that's the side for me. It's either Dolphins or pass, and maybe I pass. We have 2 hours and 40 minutes to go. I just can't sit here and bet the obvious. So the obvious is a Buffalo blowout. It's funny because earlier in the week, let's get some thoughts on Thursday night. Well, the Dolphins stink. Well, if I say that early in the week, everybody's going to think it by Thursday. You see some of these Vegas books come down 11.5, though. Circa, Superbook, South Point, they're off the 12, down to 11.5. Mm-hmm. Other books are 12.5. I see an offshore at 13. So it really hasn't settled yet. Your consensus price is probably, let's call it 12 with a total of 50. I mean, Buffalo's going to win. Buffalo's probably a decent survivor leg if you haven't already burned them.
Mm-hmm.
Miami just needs to show me that they actually care because effort is a lot. And the one hesitation that I have in this game is that the team is just ready to wave the white towel on McDaniel. I've said this for a while. I think that's going to blow up. I think the locker room will combust. And if they want to get him fired, they could just lie down on the train tracks and get ran over. That has to come into your thought process coming into this game.
That was one of my first thoughts this morning about this contest. Okay. Bills start 3-0. Another route. Dolphins start 0-3. Non-competitive week one. They hung around against the Patriots. Offense decided to show up. They still lose. Let's say they get trucked tonight. Extra long week to prepare. Is he fired?
Could be.
Like I'm saying,
why not?
I'm saying tomorrow. Yeah. I'm saying tomorrow morning.
If they lose 38-0, he's fired.
Yeah, I think so. And they probably came into the season with that idea. So, yeah, you're saying Dolphins are nothing. Look, I'm not laying 12, 13 points at this point in the season for Thursday night football. No, I'm not interested in doing that. Some trends people might find interesting. How does Miami perform there in the division? Play there every year? Poorly. Josh Allen versus Tua? Bad for Miami. We talked about how Tua had a good record against New England. That didn't come to fruition last week. But you look at Buffalo, 8-1 with Josh Allen going up against Tua. Last eight times Miami's gone there, they've lost. Bills have won six in a row against the Dolphins. Bills have won 13 of 14 straight up against the Dolphins. So that would lead a lot of people into the idea of playing them in Survivor, which we will get to coming up in about 15 minutes, whether or not this is the best option on the board for you. A week that has a decent amount of pretty good favorites coming up. Evan Abrams put this out there, and I thought it was interesting. I don't think it's actionable. Maybe some people will. If you look at the three highest point spreads that Mike McDaniel has had in his tenure with Miami, three highest, at Buffalo, at Buffalo, at Buffalo. This will be one of the highest. This is probably going to settle in as the second highest point spread as a dog that he's seen. If we go over those numbers, 2024, last year, at Buffalo, 6.5-point dog. They lose by three. 2022, 7-point dog. They lose by three. 2022, 7-point dog. No, I'm sorry, 14-point dog. Double it, 14-point dog. Sam, what do you think they lost by?
They probably covered.
Three. They lost by three. The three highest point spreads he's had as a dog, all at Buffalo, all three games, they've lost by three. I'm not telling you it's going to happen a fourth time. I'm just pointing out when they were expected to lose in Buffalo, they have hung around. Were they better versions of Miami? Absolutely. Two of those three examples, the point spread was nearly cut in half. But the offense did have a little bit of life last week, and they have a history of hanging around. I know straight up they haven't won there in many, many years, but they've been competitive in about half of the games.
They will need explosive plays on offense. That's been their mm-hmm. issue. So I found this list of big plays through week two. And what mm-hmm. they chronicle a big play as, it's either a rush of 10 plus or a pass of 20 plus. The Ravens lead the league with 19. Okay, there's your context. The Dolphins have eight. Only eight in 2 weeks. The only teams that are worse than Miami in terms of explosive plays are Cleveland, Tennessee, Cincinnati. That's it. This used to be an explosive offense. They used to get huge chunks on the ground, and then you'd hit home runs down the field. They have three explosive runs and five explosive passes. Only eight. Again, the only teams that are worse are Cleveland, Tennessee, Cincinnati. That has to change tonight if they're going to keep this close.
All right, injury report for tonight. It is certainly noteworthy. Sometimes with the short week, any guys that are iffy, they're not going to go. A number of starters already out for this game. On the Buffalo side, defensive tackle Ed Oliver out. Linebacker Matt Milano out. Their nickel Teron Johnson, questionable. So we'll probably find out about Johnson 90 minutes before kickoff. On the Miami side, starting cornerback Storm Duck is out. One of their starting safeties is out. Darren Waller is out. Defensive tackle Benito Jones is listed as questionable. Here's why I will not be betting on Miami. When you look at the injuries that they have, half of the secondary declared out. It's a bad secondary for the Dolphins to begin with. Now you've got half of your starters out, and you're going on the road to face Josh Allen. Probably the best quarterback in the world, definitely a top two quarterback in the world. That doesn't sound like a great recipe for success. And, you know, now you add in these injuries.
they're going to be starting 3 to 4 rookies Thursday night football on the road against Josh Allen. It could be name your score. That's what it just could be. If they're going full throttle and if they want to score 50, I think against this secondary, the Bills can score 50. So that's for me, that's why I'm not going to be on the Miami side. I just think they're going to give up a million. Maybe I should be looking at the total, but is that Miami offense going to show up? That's the big question.
If they quit, forget it. We just don't know. We just don't know. I was looking at a couple things. I was wondering last night, oh, what's the price on Allen to score a touchdown? Oh, it's minus 150, BetMGM. Oh, it's minus 160, minus 170 at other books. Woof. Woof. For a quarterback to score a touchdown, minus 150, that's him crossing the goal line, not him throwing a touchdown. Him crossing the goal line, minus 150, minus 160, minus 170. Then you go, all right, well, if he's minus 150 at BetMGM, what's James Cook? Oh, he's minus 165. Oh, great. So they've zapped the value out of those, to which somebody will just parlay them both at plus 180. Oh, Cook to score, Allen to score, plus 180. Ah, that's the bet. Bang. Is HN even money kind of doing anything for you? Because it is for me. Him to score a touchdown, even money.
Gets all those touches, so many targets. Okay, let's play out the game script. We expect them to be trailing. That's not a shocker. So what's going to happen? He's going to be open in the flat, and the Bills are going to give that to him. If you want to go receptions, I want to say he had maybe 8 last week. He had a handful. That's where most of his yardage came, not on the ground but through the air. That would make sense to me. Like, he'll be out there. If it's a blowout, will Tyreek be out there? I'm not sure. We don't know about that one. But anything Achan, I'm okay with. I understand where you're coming from. On the Bills side of things for the props, they're always so difficult. Like, you look in week one. Hey, maybe Keon Coleman's going to be the dude this year. Did you see that week one that he had? How about it? 3 catches, 26 yards last week against the Jets. Oh, what about Shakur? That's the target hog. You know, you line up Shakur in the slot. That's kind of Allen's go-to guy. He was last year. And then, look, he went to him 6 times in week one. 1 catch for 12 yards last week. The Bills feel like they're impossible to figure out in the prop market. Unless you're betting Cook, unless you're betting Josh Allen, when it comes to the receivers, they're tough to figure out who's going to be involved week to week.
So you don't have to bet it, or you just buy low. No. You zig when they zag. If somebody only had 1 catch the week before, odds are good they probably get this person more involved. But that's the brilliance of this Joe Brady offense. They can hit you in so many different directions. And then on 3rd and 6, when you're expecting a pass, that quarterback comes barreling at you like a cannonball. Good luck tackling that in the open field. It's such a versatile offense, and I think a lot of people incorrectly look at the lack of star power at receiver and think it's not an efficient offense, and it's one of the most efficient in the league. Top 3 in almost every important category last year in terms of efficiency. They may not have Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Puka Nacua, but they have a damn good quarterback and a damn good coordinator. They share the sugar better than maybe any team outside of Baltimore. Baltimore is another tough team to figure out. Where is it going? Well, you know Henry's going to touch it, but in the receiver room, who's getting the targets? Is it Zay Flowers? Is it Bateman? Is it Mark Andrews? The best offenses are the ones that are versatile, and that's what the Buffalo Bills are. Total is coming down in the game, by the way, in Vegas. So this open 50. And I see some 49.5s offshore, mostly 50. But, you know, if Buffalo's up big, which I think a lot of people expect, they just run the ball. They run the ball in the 3rd and 4th quarter. So I could warm to the idea. I already mentioned it's Dolphins or pass on the point spread. And I'm not saying bet the Dolphins, and I love the Dolphins, but I'm in 2 buckets. I'm in a Miami ATS bucket or an under 50 bucket. Just thinking that Miami's going to have a hard time, and Buffalo's going to just call the dogs off in the second half. I don't think Buffalo needs to score 60 points in this game. Like, what's the point? You got bigger fish to fry. This team stinks. You can knock them out in the second quarter and then just run the ball the entire second half.
Josh Allen's passing yard prop, 234 in the hook. If he wants to, he will pass that easily. If he wants to. Is the game script going to be there? That's the question. Passing yards down across the league, but Josh Allen is an exception to the rule. One receiver that did stand out to me, not technically a receiver. Don Kincaid. It feels like now that he's healthy, that they're going to him more and more. The receiving yards prop is 31.5. He's cleared that in both weeks. He led the way in targets last week. He had 6 targets. I could see them going to him. And week one, Tyler Warren, good game against this Dolphins defense. 7 catches, 76 yards. Hooper and Henry involved in the Patriots offense last week. So it's not like the Dolphins are going to shut down the tight end position. If I'm looking for a player prop, I would look to Kincaid. 31.5, that's probably too low for him.
Okay, and I like Achane to score, even money. Okay. If James Cook's -160, Achane should not be +100, even money.
Yep, that makes sense to me. That's Sammy P. I'm Joe O. Coming up on the other side, we will talk some Survivor. Hey, by the way, we are on X, so you can watch us there, bet_sweats over on X. You've got the BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovic with you. This is Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network. We are also live on X, bet_sweats. Thanks for joining us if you're over there, by the way. If you are checking out the show for the first time, we are here weekdays 9 a.m. to noon Eastern, and we're on YouTube and Twitch every day on video. Audio, betmgmnetwork.com takes you to the Odyssey app. Go for the end zone without breaking a sweat. With a Pro Football No Sweat token, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets if you don't win. So, Sam, we've got to start the conversation with tonight. You use Buffalo in one of your pools, but most people still have Buffalo available just looking at the low ownership last week. If you look at the money line prices and some of the sharper books out there, so Buffalo, clearly the largest point spread of the week. And then we get to the second highest. We've got a couple of 7.5s out there. If you look at the gap in the money line price, Buffalo -822, $8 on the money line. The next highest price is Green Bay -421. And then we get into a couple that are in the $3 range. So what the money line price is telling us, and kind of not quite the point spread, but the money line price is telling us that Buffalo is twice as likely to win over any other team this week.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. I mean, 822 versus 421.
Wish I would have had one of my other entries still alive so I could use Buffalo this week, but no, had to get cute last week with Miami. Dumbass. Such a dumbass I am sometimes. I went Miami as a 1-point favorite in Survivor. Got cute. The only people that are out got cute. If your entry's out, you got
way
cute.
Too cute.
I got cute with that one. 100%.
You didn't do the Saints. I saw people do the Saints.
Speaking of that, by the way, I got my wires crossed off the top. I take notes apparently very poorly late at night. I got my wires crossed. These guys in Vegas, they bet San Francisco, Seattle, and Dallas. I talked about two of them. And then I mentioned, obviously, Spencer Rattler going across the country to face San Francisco. We all know he's going across the country to face Seattle. So let me just stat boy myself for a second. They like San Fran, assuming Purdy's going to play, getting ahead of the move. They like Seattle minus -7 at home against Rattler. And they like Dallas is a very, very small favorite in Chicago. I did say, and I'll own this one, it is my fault. I'm reading my notes now, and I put Rattler traveling to San Francisco right under New Orleans at Seattle. So that's my own fault. I will own that one and wear that one. But speaking of Seattle, Seahawks probably win, right? They probably beat the Saints, don't they? If I got guys telling me they're willing to lay 7 with Seattle.
They're taking them in Survivor. Yeah.
I'm not saying they did, but if they want to lay 7,
I am.
We should consider moneyline.
They took Seattle. Yeah, we should consider moneyline. Third highest moneyline price of the week. The numbers passed the touchdown, which is significant. Here is what is most meaningful to me, Sam, when it comes to the idea of Seattle in Survivor. And yes, I am not a Darnold fan, but that defense in that house against Rattler, that is very enticing. Let's look at their future home games. Tampa Bay, Houston, Arizona, divisional matchup, Minnesota, Indianapolis, maybe they're really good, and the Rams. Those are the future home games for Seattle. When I pick Seattle and Survivor, I want to take them at home. This is their easiest game of the year. That's what the market is saying. That's what the schedule is telling me. There is no future value on holding on to the Seattle Seahawks. So if you are very confident that they're going to win at home this week, you should probably use them in Survivor. At least one or like a portion of your entries if you have a bunch of entries in different pools. Let me ask you this. What are you more confident in? Seattle beating New Orleans? Same point spread. Or Green Bay at Cleveland?
Both. I don't think Cleveland's going to win as somebody who has the Browns plus 8.5. I don't think the Browns win outright. Seattle's going to probably be the most popular play, though. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. As somebody who tried to avoid the great purge of week 2 and didn't take any of the public teams, I am now out in multiple entries. So I did it to myself, as I said. It looks like our guys in Chicago, Beefloaf Chirizi, they love Seattle. Texting in real time right now. One of the guys likes Tampa. So they've got 2 entries. I'm a part of 1. It's sounding like at least right now we're going to be looking at Seattle in 1, Tampa in the other.
If you're in a small pool, yeah, I like Buffalo. Of course I like Buffalo. Buffalo's the most likely team to win this week. But they have so much future value. This has me leaning not using the Bills this week. Next week, they will be the highest point spread against New Orleans. In 2 weeks, they will be the highest point spread against New England across the NFL. So they have a ton of future value. And in 2 weeks, when they're the highest point spread on the board against New England, it's not an easy board. There's not another game that is in the double-digit range. It's like going to be probably 8, 8.5, maybe 7.5, somewhere around there, just past the touchdown, and it's going to be the biggest point spread on the board. So that's probably going to be a more challenging week, and you're going to wish you had the Buffalo Bills. So I might hold off on Buffalo because they have as much future value as any team. They're a great team. They always are a good bet to win any week, and then you give them the easy games. Like, oh, man. If you have other options like we do this week with 3 games of point spreads that are at least a touchdown, maybe you save Buffalo if you haven't used them yet. We talked about Buffalo, Green Bay, Seattle. I agree with them on Seattle. I mean, right now that's my favorite play, and it will be most popular, but that's okay because it might be your only opportunity where you feel comfortable taking Seattle. Next highest point spread is Tampa Bay laying a touchdown against Tyrod and the Jets. $3 on the money line. What do we think about the Bucs going 3-0?
I don't hate Seattle or Tampa. And as I told you, in the league with beef and chorizo. I'm more of a sub. They can do whatever they want with me. They can just pick. I trust them. They won the Rich People League last year, your pool. So yes. They know what they're doing. I basically just say, sure, pick whoever you want.
Thumbs up emoji.
They don't even overthink it like I do. I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take Miami in week two. So, and you famously said on this show, you would hate to be my survivor partner. Understood. Mm-hmm. Understood. Seattle, Tampa probably both get there. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Tampa lost. I wouldn't. I would be surprised if Spencer Rattler went into Seattle and beat the 12th man. I would. That would legit surprise me. Mm-hmm. I would not see that coming. I could see the NFL's so weird, or at least it used to be, with upsets. Like, could the Jets beat Tampa? Unlikely, but yes, I don't think the Saints are going to win. So let me flip this on you then. I'm in the many losers pool, the Kelly and Murray, where I have to pick the loser every week.
Yeah.
There's only 127 people left. I'm still alive in that one because I haven't gotten cute yet. So I knocked out Tennessee in week one, Chicago in week two. I have Miami keyed right now in week three. So I need Miami to lose. Should I do Miami or New Orleans? I feel like I can save New Orleans, right?
I would rather use Miami.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm going to leave that. So I'm going to do Miami. So now I can no longer use Tennessee, Chicago, Miami. I'm going to keep that. I like that. I'm better at picking the loser than picking the winner, it turns out.
I'm in one of those two. Yeah. Okay. I don't know if you used them last week, and we can look at it the other way in regular Survivor too, because I'm in one of those pools. Did you think about the Giants hosting the Chiefs with an 0-2 record? The Chiefs are desperate for a win. Gotta win. History tells us if they don't win, they're not making the playoffs. Okay, it's the Chiefs. Maybe it's a different story. You can't start 0-3.
Did not even think about putting the Giants on there in my losers pool. Did not even think about it.
And I get it because I'm not even thinking about putting the Chiefs in there. Why would I? We didn't get to it
for Survivor
earlier.
Yeah, you're talking Survivor. I'm talking losing Survivor. Same thing, same concept.
It's the same thing, right? Yeah, we're talking about KC, guaranteed win. I don't want to use KC when they're still this beat up, but Worthy, I think he got some limited action in yesterday on Wednesday. We'll learn more today. But yeah, you look at it, you think, they're not losing, right? Like the Chiefs, could you imagine if we're on the air on Monday and we're coming off Sunday Night Football, Chiefs are 0-3. I mean, it could happen, I guess, but I just don't see it.
Now I want them to lose.
Yeah.
Because I'm not putting the Chiefs in Survivor or the Giants in losing Survivor. But now, damn it, no, I can't say that because 2 days ago, you and I were building Chiefs playoff parlays with the Ravens to win the North. There's so many things
what
going
we want.
On right now.
It doesn't matter what we want. Like, the opposite is going to happen, probably, the way this season's going.
Seattle's a good Survivor league. Seattle's probably good.
It's the best. I'm not interested in Atlanta at Carolina. I'm definitely not interested in Baltimore against Detroit. Seattle's the best leg, and it's by far your best opportunity to use them on the year. Joe O, Sammy P, you've got Bet Sweats coming up on the other side. College football angles, Evan Silva coming up at 10:20 Eastern. You've got the BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.